Well, hello. Once again, this is Soul Odyssey, and I am your host, Deborah Herman. I am a psychic medium, clairvoyant slash animal communicator slash author, and mostly I consider one of my greatest jobs as having been or still are still as a mother to 3 grown kids. And a wife, of course, but that's a partnership. And tonight, our topic is parenting as a spiritual journey. Now, for those of you who are just joining us tonight, we have a topic that we talk about every week, and it is about Soul Odyssey. And the process of Soul Odyssey is that we are all on a spiritual path, and I call it, or Spirit has explained it to me or has taught me that it is an odyssey, which is a journey that is filled with all kinds of tribulation and challenges. And certainly, if you are living on this planet now and you are a human being and you are on a spiritual path, then I don't have to tell you about challenges or about tribulations. And one of the greatest ways that you can earn your stripes or learn about what you're made of is by being a parent. And it is the greatest joy that you will ever feel. It is the most connected you will ever feel to another human being or to God or to the universe. But it is also what is very likely to make you feel the most idiotic and the most moronic that you can ever feel in your life, because there is no way to be a parent without sometimes feeling like you don't know what you're doing. I had the extra privilege of writing a book several years ago titled The Complete Idiot's Guide to Motherhood. And it was an assignment that came at a time that I truly needed an outlet, because my oldest child at the time was probably about 11, and my 2 younger ones were, I had my son 5 years younger and my daughter, youngest daughter, they're 18 months apart, so she was probably about 6 years younger. So I had 2 little ones and I had an 11-year-old. And just to describe a little bit about my oldest child, I think I've mentioned her in previous shows, but she was the type of kid that when I told her that she could, I know I told the story before, but I told her that she could march around the mall by herself, and I said, but watch out for gangs. And she turned to me and she said, but Mom, I am a gang. So you can get the picture that she was a typical Taurus, headstrong kid with her own ideas. And I used to say that she wasn't one of a kind, she was just one, and that she occupied her own light beam on the light spectrum. And I still believe that today. She's totally awesome. She's an artist. And my son is 5 years younger, and my children will totally feel so embarrassed by this, but if you ever read the book, you'll know that all their stories are in the book, and I wrote it when they were too young to call me on it and tell me not to. So there are really, really funny stories that I will share with you. And I want to remind you that this is a live show, and it is a live call-in show. And I absolutely recommend that if you are so inclined that you call in with your experiences, your comments about the topic, or if you would like some guidance about anything that's on your mind. If you want to talk about a particular issue that you're having, if it's about the topic, so much the better. Then it gives me a segue into other discussions. Or if it's just something that's on your mind and you think that I can be of some help to you. So, parenting as a spiritual process is one of the greatest opportunities for you to live out and experience your seven lessons. The seven lessons, as you know, are courage, tolerance, self-protection, self-love, ego, love of humanity, and God love. And certainly you can see that the lesson of courage is appropriate to anyone who, whether you are purposely becoming a parent or you're surprisingly becoming a parent, when you are a parent, you need to reach in the into the depths of your soul for the courage to be able to take care of a life other than your own. And I think what happens is that you realize, whether you're a mother or a father, you realize that there is a part of yourself that you didn't know that you had, because it's an instinct, or it's a part of our higher self, or it's a part of our soul, where it just changes you automatically. And I mean, assuming that you're a healthy person and that you're responding the way we typically respond to having a child, a miracle brought into our lives, it will bring out the best in you and it will bring out the worst in you. But it will cause you to have to rise to the occasion, ultimately. Certainly, God and all of the angels watch over children as best as possible. And, of course, I pray for those who are born into very, very difficult circumstances. But from the standpoint of being a parent, we certainly admit to ourselves that we, when we're given this little newborn, that we really don't know what we're doing. And I can remember with my babies having the Good Housekeeping book in one hand and trying to figure out, you know, how to give a bath or do all kinds of things, you know, for just regular day-to-day care with the other hand, you know, and it was not very easy. And we will go through all seven lessons as we talk this evening about parenting. But I want to tell you that from my standpoint, from what my guides have shown me and from my experience of having raised, excuse me, three children. My youngest is now 18. And I would say that even though I'm still a parent, that I am in a different, in a different stage of parenting. I now can have a relationship that's somewhat more equal, even though, well, let's put it this way. I'm no longer the person who has nothing to offer my children, because they realize that I have something to offer. And now when I receive a call and it's asking me for advice or asking me for input, I know that it's coming from a full heart and that they don't think I'm an idiot. And I try very hard not to let them, as they say in the commercials, let them see me sweat, because I never claim to know everything. And I can tell you that I certainly don't know everything. I'm a fellow traveler with you. But when you are a parent, one of the biggest things that we need to keep in mind is that children come through us. They don't come from us. I believe that's a paraphrasing of a poem by Khalil Gibran. And it's one of my favorites, although I don't have it in front of me to quote to you, because it puts it in perspective. These are separate lives that are entrusted to us to guide and to love and to share our spiritual path and our human journey. They're not pieces of us. They're not clones of us. And the second you see that your cute little baby, who the first thing they see is you, and they look at you with that all-adoring perspective, and you are the center of the universe, and then all of a sudden they learn the word no. You know, the dream is shattered, and you realize, you know, that's a separate human being. And I can influence them. I can guide them. But will I be able to control them? And for any of you in the audience who have raised teenagers, you will learn, or you will know, no, you can't control them. Or I would say maybe from toddlerhood on, that if you're thinking of control, then you're going to have a very difficult time raising your children, and you will probably turn gray early. I name all my gray hairs after my children because it's not easy to know where you begin and end and where they begin and end. And certainly as a society, we're progressing. I see it as progress because we're recognizing that this is a journey and a path, and that we don't necessarily need to follow everything that everyone has ever told us before in terms of raising children. I can remember being at a grocery store when my children were young, and my children were little maniacs. And no offense, kids. And I know that I really had all good intentions, and I took them with me to the grocery store, which probably in the generation before, maybe that wouldn't have happened. Maybe the children would have stayed home, and so it wouldn't have been an issue. But one day, my oldest daughter was being annoyed by my son, and the little one was trying to climb out of the shopping cart. And the next thing I know, the oldest one body slams the middle one onto the floor, who starts crying. The youngest one climbs out of the cart, and they're all running in different directions. And I looked, and I'm ready to just totally tear my hair out. And some blue-haired old ladies, which I'm sure I'll be someday, were looking at me, tisking, and just I could hear them under their breath saying, well, in my day, that never would have happened. We had discipline back then. And I'm thinking to myself, how did you do it? Did you use a leash? You know, did you glue them to the everything I did, things would sometimes just become totally out of control. And, you know, I'm sure that there were many things I could have done differently, and I'm sure that, you know, I'll get some interesting comments perhaps by email from some of you in the audience. But I know that at that moment, I just had to laugh because I realized that I wasn't going to be able to control everything. And I didn't want my children to be obedient because they were fearful of me. And it changed my perspective. The universe was showing me, you know, I felt like my angels and guides were just laughing because it was really a sight to behold. It was very, very funny. So, by the way, you do need a sense of humor if you're going to be a parent. And if you're going to be a human being, it helps to have a sense of humor, too. Anyway, I want to remind you that this is a call-in show, and I hope that you will call in at 888-815-9756 and give me your comments or call and ask me some questions. Or just enjoy the show, and maybe you'll hear some stories that relate to your own experiences, and you can laugh and say, boy, she sure has, I don't know if it's nerve or courage or whatever, to put these stories, you know, over the internet, because, you know, some people don't want to admit that they're totally out of control and their kids are running wild. Unless I guess they're putting themselves on the show, The Nanny. I still haven't figured out quite how that works. But I know that there were times that I really felt like I just couldn't deal with my kids. But they've all turned out to be very interesting individuals. And one of the things I learned is that in the word discipline is also the word disciple. And I believe that our children are also in the role of disciple. They are to be guided by us and to be nurtured by us, but ultimately for the purpose of them to move away, grow apart, and to form their own whole, you know, to be an entire whole human being separate from us, so that they can have a path that will take them to God in the way that God intends for them. And that's the lesson of tolerance, and that's a very difficult lesson for us to go through as a parent, because we think that we should you know, we've got a tremendous amount of pressure from society telling us you've got to have well-behaved children and your children should be achieving this and that. And, you know, we see things on television, either it's the anti-family where you can laugh and say, oh, no, you know, my family's better than that. Or, you know, like I love The Simpsons. Or it's the perfect families that we remember from the 60s or even now where, you know, you look at it and you say, how are they doing that? How are they keeping it all together? So we have a lot of pressure to become, you know, these perfect, unrealistic parents who are not looking at having children as having a relationship with a separate human being. You are in relationship with your children. You have a responsibility. You are guiding them. At the same time, you're going through your individual journey, your spiritual journey, your life journey, and you're going to make mistakes. You're going to do things that when you're older and you look back and you say, gosh, I wish I had it more together. You know, I could have done this, this, and this with my child. But if you are able to keep the perspective that you are your child's guide and that with one hand you want to push them away and with the other hand, and I think this is from the Talmud, with the other hand you want to pull them closer, it will give you a good foundation in order to raise your children with the right balance of love and the right balance of discipline. You want to give them a sense of right and wrong, of consequences, but you don't want to do that with rejection and with criticism and with, you know, nagging. And believe me, we all do it. I had a lovely conversation with my son today, and I was in a particularly cranky mood, and I called and I started saying, you know, did you do this? Did you do that? Did you do this? And in his infinite wisdom, and he is 20, he reminded me that these were things that he should really be worrying about and that I didn't really need to be worrying about. And I said, you know, you're right. I can call you and say, how's the weather? How's your day? And do you want to talk about something interesting? And he is a person in his own right who has the right to make mistakes or to do good things or to have relationships with people or to make decisions of how he wants his life to be. And I really was just, you know, kind of, that was a way that I was trying to be connected by, you know, did you do this and did you do that? And we often mistake that kind of interaction as a way of connecting to someone, our children, is by, you know, becoming the policeman or the nag or the reminder. And throughout our lives with our children, we don't have to be that person. We can set limits and boundaries, but we can do it in such a way that we are in relationship with them and that we see them. I'm going to say that again. We have to be able to see our children. And that also encompasses hearing them and listening to them and understanding who they are as people. Because we come into parenting believing that it's our complete responsibility to shape them into who they're going to be. And, you know, that's a little arrogant because we really don't have that kind of power. We have the power and the responsibility to create their environment. We have the power and the responsibility to give them, I believe, you know, that it is our responsibility to give them as much security as we can, and, you know, however we express our love, you know, to do so as the adult. And we often fall into the role of wanting to be our children's friends. But, you know, as we grow and mature, we see that that's not necessarily what they need. But we don't have the entire burden on our shoulders, because they do come in on a soul's journey, just like you and I. We come into this world on a soul's journey, and we have to have a relationship with God, and children have to have a relationship with God. So sometimes we may want our children to be a certain way. We may want them to do the things that we want them to do, and they're going to turn out, no matter what, to be who they are and to ultimately find that their authentic self is something other than our expectation of them. And that's very difficult as a parent. We also need to know that sometimes being a parent can be a burden, and no offense to children, you know, and this is not to say that it's not something we've asked for and that is our responsibility, but there is a burden that we sometimes get from our children, because children can be emotional terrorists, and we can call it what it is. Sometimes we don't realize how smart and manipulative our children can be, because we want them to be happy. And we think that's being a good parent. And sometimes, and this is the self-protection lesson, sometimes we have to realize that setting our boundary and putting some kind of distance and allowing our children to feel pain is better for us and our mental and emotional and spiritual health, and it's better for them, because we're going to let them feel their feelings, and we can be there to guide them and to soothe them, but eventually they need to learn to soothe themselves and to navigate through difficult circumstances. And if we're always fighting their battles and we're always doing it for them, ultimately that is what leads to poor decision making when they become young adults. There is a lot of time that they're not under our watchful eye. They have an entire life, as much as we hate to admit it, especially nowadays, as kids have so much more access to media and communication than ever before. There's only so much that we can protect them from. So we want to recognize where these boundaries are, and to know that sometimes they are taking us for a ride. And so this is part of a spiritual journey, because self-protection is important. If you deplete every aspect of your spiritual energy and you are not respected by your child in your own home, then you are taking away from what God needs from you. And so you can look at it that way. If you have trouble seeing it as, you know, if you have trouble discerning, well, what is my responsibility and what is my duty to myself? Remember that you are a child of God, and that God needs for you to be a whole person. So watch out. Especially, divorce is so rampant these days. I mean, we can spend a whole class time talking about that, and I would love to do that. I used to be a divorce and custody mediator back in one of my other lives. I've had very many in this lifetime. Well, let's just say identities, and they're all part of the same. But it's very important to recognize, especially in divorced homes, which are very common today, that children become, it's their matter of survival. They don't want to feel the bad feelings. Some of the feelings are beyond what they can comprehend because of their limited experience. And to avoid some of the conflict and bad feelings, they can very easily play all ends against the metal. And so the self-protection lesson comes in where you, as the adult and your ex-spouse, you need to learn and see what is happening so that you can stay in the position of being, you know, the responsible people and allow the children to grow as children and to also not drive you crazy, because many, many families break apart because the children are, they start to rule the roost, and they don't want to do that. That isn't the natural way of the world. It's not natural for children to run a household. And it's nothing I haven't done in my own life, believe me. For everything I teach is everything I've had to learn. And I've been blessed that, you know, Spirit has guided me through channeling and has helped me put this all into context. But these are things that you are learning every single day. And so all of the agonizing you do in your life as a parent is all part of your soul's growth, and it's part of the growth of your child's soul. And you're in it together. And it's a blessing, even though it sometimes feels like the worst thing ever. No one, now I'll say this carefully, feelings will pass. You don't die from feelings. They can feel beyond anything that you can imagine and that you can handle, but they're not, and they will pass. And so you're doing a favor for your children if you're helping them learn how to cope and to handle their path and their direct relationship with God. Self-love as a parent, it goes right hand in hand, because when you are a parent, it is a period of time where you can so easily lose yourself that you don't know, you know, it's like you disappear. For some, it's a short period of time. For some, it's, you know, I feel in many ways that I'm finding myself as a different person, or maybe the same person, you know, with the fact that my children are now 18 through 24. That's a very big turning point in people's lives, when you have to now say, okay, who am I? But throughout your life as a parent, you can maintain your identity, and you can maintain and grow with your self-love as you're growing with your family. And it will be better for all. And it's an important lesson for you to know that you are also worthy. Someone once told me that if you're so sacrificial for your children, that they won't respect you. And it's true. It's a burden on children if their parents are so sacrificial that they deny their needs and deny that they are people with a wide range of feelings themselves. And it's okay for you to think about, I mean, sometimes after, you know, being a parent, you really get to a point where you don't even know what you like or dislike. It's like, no, I'm thinking about, what does my child like? What does my child need? And after a while, you're just spent. And that's not good. That's not a happy family. And it changes the whole environment. It changes your home. So you want to put energy back into your home by recognizing that you're going to continue to have your self-love lessons while you're a parent, even if you think you're putting them off by focusing only on your children. You have to feed yourself emotionally. You have to feed your, if you are blessed to have a partner, a spouse, it's important for you also to remember to feed each other. Now, ego. Boy, the ego lesson is so important when it has to do with parenting. Because we see our children as a reflection of us. Whatever they do, if it's good, we take pride in it. And believe me, I do. Just ask any of my children. They really don't want me bragging about them, but I can't help it. And that is truly a joy that parents have. We can take pride in our children, but we also want them to know and to feel that we love them no matter what. It's not conditional. God's love for us is not conditional. So whatever we do, it's A-okay. And of course, it doesn't mean that we ignore consequences. If your child lights your house on fire, you're not going to say, that's A-okay with me. You needed to express yourself. No, that's kind of absurd. But on the other hand, we don't want to only see our children through our eyes. We want to try to empathize with them and to see them through their own eyes. And to try to remember, I try to remember that they are not little adults. And they are not, even though my youngest daughter and I joke because sometimes people call her Mini-Me because poor kid. She seems to follow some of, all my children do in some way or another. But my youngest one, we just kind of resemble each other and she's had some of the similar experiences. And so, yeah, it's fun to say, oh, that's my Mini-Me. But she's not a Mini-Me. And of all my children, she made sure that I knew that I wasn't going to be able to suffocate her because I didn't want to do it on purpose. But especially when it's your baby, she was a very important part of my life and my identity as the mother. And boy, let me tell you, when she was 16... there was no doubt that this child or young lady, there was no doubt that she was not going to let me smother her. Let's just say that for many of you, and you know who you are, when you have a child who is 16, you kind of hope that maybe they'll go visit grandma or something, just like take a powder and then come back. Maybe a couple years later. It's not an easy time. It depends on the child. With the best intentions, it's part of the nature of things. Children at that age need to separate. And sometimes the closer you are, the worse that period of separation is going to be. And it just depends on the person. For this one, she was, let's just say she's gone into the right profession. She's an actress. So drama was definitely her strong suit. And if you're listening, you know who you are. I love you to pieces, but I'm glad you're not 16 anymore. So it's very important that we don't let our egos get in the way of raising our children, because that is truly parenting out of weakness. We want to nurture their spirit. We want to nurture the identity that God gave them as a guide, not as the person who controls them. You want them to be able to find their way to the light, to their light. And you can guide. And sometimes, I've learned that sometimes you may not approve of certain people that your child hangs around with, but sometimes I think you will find, and this has just been my experience, that the more you are open and the less you are judging and the more you are open and available, the more your children will see what are the right decisions. Because if they don't have a sense of self-identity, they're not going to be able to know when something is taking them off their path. So if they're going to associate with people who are going to pull them into bad behaviors, if they have a strong identity and that's not the life they want, and you've helped them to have that strong identity by guidance, and limits and unconditional love, then they're going to say, no, I don't want to be around you, or I don't want to do the things that you're doing. I see this as my future. And they'll be able to stay connected to the light. So do you want to be the message or the messenger? That's what the ego lesson is. Do you want to be the being that your children either fear or worship? Do you want to make them feel so connected to you or beholden to you that they do not feel free to find out who they are? I don't think so. I think you want to give your children roots and wings, and you do that with staying present in your relationship with your child. And even when they're little, it is so hard. Thank God for videos. My son, no, I'm sorry. I hope if you're listening, Josh, I'm sorry. We have to share this story. But, he was a very active kid. We used to call him the Terminator. And when he was young, he liked the movie, what is it? Now I can't even think of it. The Jungle Book. Probably because he's sending me vibes. Mom, don't say that on the air. No, please. But he played it so many times that his older sister ultimately hid it from him. But he loved it. He enjoyed it. And sometimes that was the only time any of us got a break. Because you want to be present, but you also have to know that you're a person. But if you're at cross purposes with your child and you don't take the time to at least see what they need, then you're going to wind up having a bigger problem on your hands, because they will find a way to get your attention one way or another. And it's better to take the few minutes to deal with the situation than to try to avoid it and to, try to ignore them and to try to have what you need right away, and then to see that they'll go back and, do what they're doing. Anyway, I hope those of you who are raising toddlers know that it does pass, and enjoy the time that you have. Try to take your naps when they do, if they do, if you're lucky enough for them to do it. But, they do grow, and you will survive. And they become, your children will always be a wonderful connection to you. They're the most blessed gift that God can give you. I hope that we will have a caller, so I can take a drink of water. The phone number here is 888-815-9756. Don't be afraid to call. I would love your input. On my end, this has been a really great opportunity and a fun class to teach, because my experience raising children has given me so much opportunity on my spiritual path. There has been nothing and I didn't expect that I would be pretty much, although I've worked and done my healing work, and I've written, my goodness, I had, over the time that I raised my children, I wrote many books. I don't remember doing it because it was always in crisis time, but I know that, so many things that I experienced with my children shaped who I am now. But I didn't go into my relationship with them expecting that. I expected, I went to, I was from the generation, I went to law school, and I am still a lawyer in Ohio. I'm licensed, but I don't practice, and I don't live in Ohio. But our generation, we were tail end of the women's movement. We thought we were going to have our kids and work full time, and there's certainly, that's a wonderful thing to do if you can do it. My situation wasn't like that. I wound up because of my career, I was able to kind of balance being home part of the time and working part of the time. And I didn't really think about what was it going to be like when I actually had the children. And it really is an amazing spiritual experience. It is a spiritual journey in itself. For those of you who don't have children, there are, believe me, your spirit guides and the angels will put other circumstances into your life so that you can continue learning all of your lessons in other ways. But I will say that having children, I think it does up the ante a bit, because you do learn, as I said earlier, you learn what you're made of, because you have to think on your feet. Do we have a caller? I can't quite, I think we might. So anyway, if we don't have a caller, then let's see if we have more things to talk about the spiritual path and parenting. I've worked at schools for troubled teens, and that I think that there are a lot of things that we can do in our lives to work with our teens. That is a very difficult stage in life, but it's also a stage where if we, kind of plan ahead and know that it's going to be a difficult time, that, we can maybe do a little damage control before kids get into that stage. Once again, the telephone here, I'm going to interrupt myself for this news bulletin. This is a live call-in show, and I would love for you to call at 888-815-9756. You can get a free reading from me, Deborah Herman, psychic medium and animal communicator extraordinaire, fellow traveler on the path. I'd love to hear your input, your questions, your calls. 888-815-9756. And I would like to talk a little bit about troubled teens. I think that it probably deserves its own class time, because it's one of the most difficult stages in a young person's life. And we do many things exactly the wrong way as parents of teenagers. I had the privilege of working on a book that dealt with, teens and tough love and those kinds of things. And the one thing I learned, and I'm just going to leave you with this tip, is that when your teens are driving you crazy and they refuse to do what you want them to do, because you do have the right to set rules and limits, and you are feeling very non-spiritual because you are having all kinds of fantasies of how you would like to pulverize them, one of the tricks is that you should do exactly the opposite of what you've been doing. If you've been yelling at them to do their homework, or you've been, getting on their case to do this or to do that, what you should do is the exact opposite. Be very calm. Be very quiet. Now, if you've been very calm and very quiet, you might want to, in a very calculated way, suddenly make a big fuss. I know it worked for me when I worked at a school for young women. I was always the very, cordial and happy-go-lucky teacher, and they were always, you know, kind of pushing the limit. And one time when they actually pulled a trick on me, I, you know, raised my voice and I said, I am very disappointed with you. And it really shook them up because it was the opposite of what I had been doing. You have to save those tricks. Dora from New York, thank you so much for calling. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi there.
Can you hear me? Hi,
yes,
how are you?
Fine.
It's a little bit breaking up for some reason. The show is incredible. It really, I have to say, and everything that you're saying is definitely hitting home. And I just wanted to tell you that I enjoyed listening to you. And
thank
I
you.
Think you have some valuable advice. You really do.
Well, can you tell I've lived it?
Yeah. And me too.
I'm sure you have.
That's for sure.
I'm so glad. And do you have any questions?
Not right now, because actually I do have to tuck my daughter in. She is 14, but I still do tuck her in at night. And she's got a cold, and she's got to get up very early in the morning. But I definitely will be in touch with you. And
thank
I
you.
Want to try to listen to the rest of the show also. Okay?
And say goodnight to her for us, and it's never too late to tuck in your daughters.
I know.
Enjoy.
I love to do it.
Okay.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. All righty.
Bye now.
Bye now. Mary, hi.
Hi.
You're from Indiana.
Yes, I am. Hi, Debbie. I was calling in to ask a quick question. I know you're about to end your show. I just had a question. I do have a 17-year-old son at home whose father has been out of the picture for a long time, and I see a lot of anger building up in my son over that relationship that he doesn't have with his dad. And I just was wondering if you might have some advice on how I could possibly either try to get that relationship back for him or relieve some of his anger in some way towards his father.
Well, the first message I was getting from Spirit is to tell you that you can't do this.
Okay.
Because well, I'll use the word karma. It's the tolerance lesson. It's awful. You are going to need to let him feel his anger because that's the only way he's going to heal. And trying to navigate between the father and the son is going to put you in a very difficult and no-win situation. Now, with your son, if he starts really taking it out on you, then, and we can talk further perhaps at another time, but if he's going to take it out on you, then you'll need a different strategy.
Okay.
But if you just see that he's very angry, then, you know, what you can do is to try to, you know, don't try to be his therapist, be his mom, but you can always just be curious and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on with you? And be very willing to listen without solving it. Because the relationship between a son and a father is so precious, and it's such a big issue on his spiritual path that eventually he's going to have to deal with those feelings. You know, and just remember, God gave him that challenge. You didn't cause it.
Okay,
you did not. And the worst thing, and I know because you're probably like me, is you probably have guilt. And you want to take that pain. You want to take that pain from him. But I want to reassure you, you did not cause this. And you can't cure it. And your son, if you just give him your love, be the mother. You can't be mother and father. Be the mother, give him love, and don't try to solve it for him. He will work through his anger. And he is, I see, he's going to grow into a very fine man. I don't see him, just don't worry, I don't see him collapsing.
Okay.
Okay?
That makes me feel better.
Well, God bless
you.
I know exactly
how
you feel. You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you. And you have a good night.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Boy, I know how, parent to parent, heart to heart, there's nothing more difficult for you as a parent and on your spiritual path than to feel, because we feel it, to feel our children in pain. And sometimes, you know, we have to remember they're on a journey, and we can guide them and we can help them, but we can't take it away from them. Are you still on the line? Oh, my. We are getting close to the end of our show, so I'll do a quick recap. I'm so happy that our audience is growing each week, and I want to continue bringing you every week it seems that Spirit gives me the topic. So I know that whoever is listening, some of you out there are going to receive the information that you need to receive. I feel very blessed that I can be a conduit for it. We'll talk about it in pieces. You know, I've had my own struggles, but I feel very blessed that everything that I've learned can somehow connect with everything that you're learning and experiencing, because even when things seem their darkest, they're not. There's always God. There's always a way to change things from feeling the most bleak to being the most blessed. You need to just have faith in that and to know that if you ask for the answers, you're going to get them. They may not be what you think they're supposed to be. Boy, I have been so surprised sometimes when I, in my mind, had all the answers. And then by letting it go, the answers came to me, and they were different than what I expected, but they were the right decisions. So keep your mind open to receiving answers and to also asking for help. Because as parents, we think we have to do it all by ourselves, and we don't. There's so much wonderful spiritual energy out there in the universe for us to ask, and also reach out to each other, because I think you'll find that there are so many people, you know, who are having the same struggles that you are and who need your support. Just tell them, you'll get through this, because you will. And that is Spirit's promise to you. I'll say it's my promise to you, but of course, I'm only a human being on this path, but it is Spirit's promise to you. You can get through this, and you can have the reward of having a family and children in your life and having a relationship with them. That's a very blessed one. So thank you for joining me this week, and next Thursday, I don't know what the topic will be, but make sure that you remember bbsradio.com, Soul Odyssey, every Thursday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The rest of you are just going to have to figure it out, because I don't know the time zones. God bless you all, and good night.